Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, talk. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good afternoon. It's afternoon everywhere in the lower 48 states. It might be 1 o'clock where you are, or 2 o'clock, or 3 o'clock, or 4 o'clock, but it is Tuesday afternoon. Glad that you were able to find us at our new time, and I'm expecting us to stay here for quite some time. So Tuesday afternoon is your time for spouting off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. It's Wednesday, October 17th, 2017. And this is a beautiful time of year. I love this time of year, wherever you are. Well, not all of you get to have the beautiful changing of the leaves, but this time of year is just glorious. It's never long enough for me. I really like when the leaves change and it gets just a little cold, so you have to wear a sweater, and they change from red to dead. That's what they change like. So glad you're here. I was listening to the show that preceded ours. What a change this is going to be for you. She was talking, I mean, it was wonderful. And I don't mean to put any aspersions on her. I thought it was wonderful. I think that was Jen. And she was talking about joyful and giggly and love energy and love, 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 love. Boy, you're going to need to go back to that after this program, because this program is all about spouting off about whatever is either bothering you or that you feel passionate about. It doesn't have to always be something that makes you angry. It could be something that a lot of times we spout off when there are things that are bees in our bonnet, things that drive us crazy. We talk a lot about politics, the issues of the day, current events, politics, Hollywood, culture. Oh, and did I say politics? Yeah, we talk about that too. So I've decided to create, at least until I feel like not doing it, something called Little Bites of Big Issues, because there's so much going on. I never get enough time. I have enough show prep here for 3 hours of a show, but I can't talk about everything that I want to. So I figured I would just hit a couple of little bites of the big issues, and then we will be talking at length, a big bite, about healthcare, about Trump and the changes that he's made to healthcare. We're going to get into that probably a little later in the hour. As for now, I had a few thoughts about the Las Vegas massacre, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, and it is very, very upsetting. There are still people in the hospital, people still whose lives have been changed forever. 58 people dead. And we know virtually nothing about who this guy was, the shooter. All of a sudden, Jesus Campos, who was hailed as a hero, he suddenly disappeared. So people couldn't wait to make a big political football about this terrible, terrible atrocity. And everybody thought, well, we just got to do something. We got to do something, whatever it is. And we will outlaw bump stocks if we have to, even if that doesn't do anything. It's not going to matter much, but we're going to do it anyway. I have one suggestion, and I'm not going to pontificate about this for very long because I got a lot of other things, and conjecture is great, but it doesn't really get you very far. I'm one that likes to know what the facts are, if in fact I trust the people giving me the facts, and that's the decision we all make, hopefully, as adults. And that is this. Here's what I think could really, if anything, could help prevent this terrible atrocity. And we are all in danger of these kinds of attacks for various reasons. It is for the media, the government, the FBI, to eventually, I'm not saying they have to do it now, if they are investigating and they've got a big investigation, to tell us the truth. We need to know the truth. We as Americans need to know the truth. Okay, that is all I'm going to say about that. So here are some little bites of big issues. All right, first, did you know that the school district in Virginia just banned eighth grade from the eighth grade reading list, the book To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee? They have an eighth grade reading list and they decided to take it off the list. Stunning. Unbelievable. This is a huge issue. We hate using Nazi references here, but the Nazis burned books. I wonder about how many of you listening out there remember that great movie, Field of Dreams. Wasn't that a wonderful movie? If you build it, they will come. That's a wonderful movie. But there is a scene in which Kevin Costner's wife, I don't know the actor's names, is absolutely up in arms, gone crazy because she went to her kids' school meeting and there they were deciding to ban books. And she was a great and noble liberal who was horrified and appalled at the banning of books. Here, now, we've got liberals who are banning books off eighth grade reading lists. And this little bite, I can't completely let it go until I mention what a spectacular, wonderful, classic masterpiece To Kill a Mockingbird was. Not just the book, but the film with Gregory Peck. And most of us have seen the film with Gregory Peck. Not everybody. I was moved beyond all reason when I saw that movie for the first time. And that movie, not coincidentally, is all about racism. It's all about how horrible and ignorant and stupid and painful pain is caused to people when they are on the receiving end of racism, of the kind of racism, the real stuff that we talk about today is, if you use the wrong word, that's racist. No, that's political footballs. That's been a really useful term lately. Anyway, to ban To Kill a Mockingbird, I got to tell you what they said as to why. Why would they ban To Kill a Mockingbird? Well, one of the school board members said because it makes people uncomfortable. Seriously? So the point of art, I used to be in musical comedy and theater. I've done a lot of entertainment stuff. And they used to say that the very point of theater and art is to make people uncomfortable. But now the left has done such a good job of indoctrinating students and kids into thinking that the so-called N-word is so evil that they're going to have a nervous breakdown and have to go to a safe room, is that they can't even hear it. Well, that N-word is very, very important to the book. It's necessary for the book. I don't know if I've said in recent shows here about what a great classic, in a different way, Blazing Saddles was. It made a point about racism, but now when you see it on AMC and some of these other places, they take out, they cut it to shreds because they're not allowed to use the N-word. It's hilarious because the whole movie pivots on the whole point that there's a black sheriff in town and he's going to clean up Rock Ridge, including racism. So if you're so delicate that you can't hear words, then what are you going to do when there's actions like the Las Vegas massacre? That's all I got to say about that. I think I feel like Forrest Gump here. Okay. The next little bite of a big issue. Larry Flynt offers $10 million for information leading to the impeachment of Donald Trump. I saw this and I had myself a good laugh. I said, if you have to pay money to make a case to impeach a president just because you don't like him, just because he has a different political viewpoint than you do, then you don't have a case. This is much the same thing, the thing that drove me crazy about Maxine Waters, among other things. Congresswoman from, I believe, California, who was ready to, you can call me and correct me if I'm wrong, Maxine Waters was ready to impeach Donald Trump before he was inaugurated. It didn't seem to bother her that that is not only wholly unconstitutional, but unjust. So she, who views herself as a champion of social justice, didn't mind the injustice of inaugurating a president before she ever gave him a chance to do anything that was impeachable. You know, we do have laws. They're called high crimes and misdemeanors. It means you cannot impeach a president just because you don't like him. Why? Because that would be overturning a lawfully and duly executed election that we had. And guess what, liberals? You lost. You can try again next year, but I mean, in 4 years, but you lost. Here's the other dirty little secret. You keep losing. That's for another story, but the left is losing big, 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 big. And with this stunning story that I think we spoke about last week more, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Harvey Weinstein, the Harvey Weinstein story is illustrating for whomever is still a little naive that Hollywood is full of bunk, okay? Hollywood is full of bunk, and all of this liberal claptrap and lecturing the rest of us little people in flyover country why we are ignorant and need them to tell us about politics, well, it just isn't so. All right? Okay, another little bite. This is something for you to pay attention to that I have ready to give you a heads up on. All right? Headline, Refuse Fascism. That's a new group, you know. It's like Antifa, only different. Plans November 4th, a revolution to unseat Trump. The reason I put this here now is because it's the same idea as Maxine Waters, who's decided that we need to impeach Trump because she doesn't like him. It's the same thing as Larry Flint, who has to pay $10 million to find something on Donald Trump. Never mind, they've been working at it for 2 years, trying to find evidence. There is no evidence. Do you think for a moment that if there weren't evidence, they would have found it by now? I mean, $10 million he's willing to spend now that Trump is in office, and they still can't find anything impeachable. And that is for a president who not only has enemies on the opposing party, the Democrats, he has enemies in his own party. And the people that bring him to the dance, that is everyday Republicans, they know what enemies Trump has, trying to smear him with hate, trying to smear him with unfair characterizations. Now, before you who may not have listened to me before get all bent out of shape, I don't have Trump on any sort of pedestal. But I do feel that it's important to, I get a little more passionate when I see the unfounded, outrageous hatred being thrown his way with no evidence, no facts, nothing, and being thrown by people who've been covering up their own sins for years, decades, I might add. They've been covering it up. So I always come back. Once I get going, I always come back. Refuse Fascism plans a November 4th revolution to unseat Trump. The group warned that the protests will not stop until all of their demands are met. They want to unseat Trump any way they can. Why? Because they're against fascism, don't you know? All you have to do is label somebody a fascist, a racist, a bigot, and you have a license to use fascist tactics. These are fascist tactics. Members of Refuse Fascism blocked rush hour traffic on the 101 freeway in Los Angeles for about 30 minutes on the morning of September 26th, holding letter signs spelling out November 4th, it begins. Eight agitators chanted slogans such as no Trump, no KK, no fascist USA. Whose streets? Our streets. So basically, they're allowed to demand whatever they want, stop traffic, commit crimes, and as we saw in Oakland, destroy property. Don't get me going. Destroy property, commit all kinds of crimes against innocent people. In my book, those are called fascist tactics. And then turn around and use the justification that the reason they're doing it is because they're fighting fascism. Is that rich? Is that a beautiful thing? I'm telling you, it's stunning. Okay, in the department of still crazier yet, and I think I mentioned this last week, but I just have to mention it as much as possible because it's so incredible. It's so hilarious is not the right word. Headline. Intentionally infecting others with HIV is no longer a felony in California. Governor Jerry Brown, conservative that he is, I'm kidding, has signed a bill downgrading the crime of deliberately exposing a sexual partner to HIV from a felony to a misdemeanor. Okay? So you would ask yourself, why do they actually have a justification for doing this? What is the reason you're talking about? Now, HIV may not be quite the death sentence it used to be because there's good drugs now, but it's a profoundly serious disease. There was a time in, I guess it was the mid 80s to late 80s, people were terrified of HIV. And if you have any sense, you'd still be terrified of HIV because it's a devastating disease. AIDS, HIV positive, which leads to the disease of AIDS. I should be accurate. So here, not only does the person who have AIDS and they infect somebody, but they do it intentionally. They do it on purpose to sentence somebody else, a person who didn't ask for this. This kind of a heartache that will follow them the rest of their lives. And that is no longer a felony, right? So the new California regulation lessening the crime of deliberately exposing others to the AIDS, to HIV virus, was authored by two Democrats, I won't mention their name, and co-sponsored by a number of LGBT groups. The bill will go into effect January 1st, 2018, and it says they do so with the specific intent of infecting patients with the contagious virus. All right, so when asked, got to find this, I got to find the yellow highlighting here. When asked why, they said, because it unfairly disfavors specific groups. California's outdated draconian HIV criminal laws have disproportionately harmed people of color and transgender women. Really? Seriously? So any issue can be turned into gender and race politics if given half a chance. Here's one. The ACLU, no, we're still on the same subject, but the ACLU, which co-sponsored the bill, described the new measure as modernizing California HIV laws while praising Governor Jerry Brown for reforming outdated laws that unfairly criminalized and stigmatized people living with AIDS. This is an example of victim politics gone crazy. That means that if you're living with AIDS, which we're sorry for you if you are, then you are not able to commit a crime. That if you intentionally infect somebody, you're still a victim, and you would be penalized and criminalized and stigmatized if there was a law preventing you from doing that. Now, I had to be that specific because we're living in crazy, insane times in which people actually buy this stuff. They actually buy that if you have HIV, that you shouldn't be prosecuted for intentionally giving it to somebody else. I mean, people are taking leave of their rational sense. They're taking leave of their senses to think that that's okay. But it gets worse. Did you think it could get worse? But it gets worse. In California, they're putting forth a law that allows jail time and fines for using the wrong gender pronoun. I'm serious. They want to give jail time for using the wrong gender pronoun. Just so you know that I'm not kidding, this is not a comedy routine. I will expound. California healthcare workers who willfully and repeatedly decline to use a senior transgender patient's preferred name or pronoun could face punishments ranging from a fine to jail time under a newly signed law. They didn't just propose it, they signed it. Jerry Brown, our friend Governor Moonbeam, signed it. Now, I don't care how much you may be for gender pronouns or not, but this is unconstitutional. Purely and simply, this is unconstitutional. It is ridiculous and, in fact, goes against everything this country was founded upon, to be punished by the government for what you say or the words you use. It's called the First Amendment. And it doesn't just protect the things you hate. It doesn't protect people who do things you don't like. It protects you. So for the government, this will go to the Supreme Court. And thank God we have a court that will throw it out. But it's insane. So just to go full circle, in California, the state where Hollywood is dictating to the rest of us what is and isn't women's rights and what is and isn't misogyny, is now reducing intentionally infecting people with the HIV virus. They're reducing it from a felony to a misdemeanor. But if you use the wrong pronoun, you ought to go to jail. Those kind of values, and we are going to get into this because I got all kinds of time, those kind of values are what Trump is fighting. And we'll get into that. Last item in the Little Bites today. 5 most triggering Halloween costumes of 2017. So the Business Insider has a list of 14 costumes you shouldn't wear this year. Now, the First Amendment doesn't protect you from not being punished by your government for wearing the wrong Halloween costume. However, this is more of a recommendation, but it is exactly the kind of dictatorial attitudes that we're living in today that we must put an end to. There was a time not very long ago, I was prepubescent, I want you to know, when in the late 60s, whatever, early 70s, it was the liberals who were fighting for free speech and the right to do as you please and do what you want, and if it feels good, do it, and don't tell me what to do. And now these same liberals are the biggest dictators, book burners, authoritarians that I've ever seen. It should ask you, it should beg the question, maybe everybody is susceptible to this kind of thing. Maybe everybody is susceptible to, once they get power, willing to abuse that power in order to further their own nest, feather their own nest, further their own agenda, or to make more money and corruption. Well, I'll have you know, our founders understood that. Our founders understood that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Our founders understood that it isn't the party that's behind your name, the R, the D, whatever, that's behind your name. It is, they understood human nature. They understood that people are likely to abuse power if they get too much of it. So just to complete, because we do have a caller on the line, Carolyn, our caller, please hold on. We're going to take you after the break. I'm just going to finish this thought and tell you what the Halloween costumes are. That's why those of us who love the Constitution appreciate it so darn much, because it's the Constitution and our founders and our framers who've been demonized, like all of the things in our culture have started to be demonized. Our flag, our anthem, our heritage, everything that is traditional that has made this country great. And that was true long before Donald Trump said it. Our founders knew that we needed a separation of powers. We had to have a separation of powers, or we would not preserve the freedom that they designed this country to protect. Think about that for a little bit. It's darned important. So, going back to the Halloween costumes, we have the hobo costume because it's insensitive, misogynistic, and somebody wrote, "You wouldn't make fun of a homeless person on the street. Homelessness is a serious issue, so don't wear a hobo costume. Can't do it. Wouldn't be prudent." Next, number four, an Arab chic costume. Not okay. Someone wrote, "Whoopsie." Draws on false stereotypes of Middle Eastern culture. It's harmful to reinforce negative and misconceived notions about religion and region and a group of people. Oh, dear. Oddly enough, this tweet from Arab TV didn't seem to have a problem with it. Okay, next, the native princess costume. Uh-oh, can't do that. Because it's culturally not appropriate for indigenous cultures. It goes against the cultural sensitivity guidelines, so we can't do that. Here's one of my favorites, number three. Because I wrote a book called Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin, there's an inflatable fat ballerina. And I looked at the costume. There's a picture. You got to look at this online. Maybe I'll put it on my website, which is KarenCataline.com, www.KarenCataline.com, Cataline with a K. The inflatable fat ballerina. Come on, people, it's 2017, someone writes. Try to avoid costumes that could be interpreted as body shaming, like this one from Target, Business Insider chastises. So when I saw the picture of the guy in this wonderful fat ballerina costume, I said to myself, I thought, I want one. I can't wait to get one. One day I'll talk about how fat is protection from exactly the kind of sexual molestation and the kind of thing we're talking about in the Weinstein case. Fat works really, really well, and that's what my book was all about. All right, and number one, you can't make this stuff up. Number one costume you shouldn't wear, according to Business Insider, the wall. You can't go to Halloween dressed as a wall. If cultural appropriation, I don't know what that is. The left is always making up words like cultural appropriation. Is that like giving money to the culture? I don't know. Here's a directly racist costume straight from Party's City. So it's a wall. It's racist to dress like a wall. Okay. All right. Whatever, I guess. Huh. Anyway, Carolyn, hang on the line. This is BBS Radio. You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline, and we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll come back with your calls. Guess what? Oh, before we take a break, I'm sorry, I got to use the number. So you can call about anything that we have here, and guess what? I don't have the number handy. So I'm going to give the number when we get back. If you're listening, call the number, call the call-in number. Wait a minute. I've got it. Somebody is typing the number for me as we speak. Call 888. Thank you, engineer man. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Or direct, you can call 323-744-4831. Ah, the joy of the internet. Call, and we'll take your calls when we get back. This is Karen Cataline.
Hi, I'm Chandler, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on the continuing relevance of the Constitution.
Many argue today that the Constitution is outdated because it addresses problems peculiar to the 18th century so long ago. And some of it does read sort of quaintly. But consider the injunction against titles of nobility in Article 1, Section 9, for example. Is that so outdated? The purpose of that injunction is to prevent the government granting special privileges for partisan reasons. This strikes at the rule of law, the rule under which we're all to be treated the same. The crony capitalism so common today, where the government gives favors and tax dollars to some businesses and advantages over others, is exactly the kind of thing the Constitution was meant to prohibit. The Constitution is not outdated at all.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. This is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to BBS Radio Station 1, and this is Spouting Off. And we've got someone on the line who wants to spout off. I was just going to see if there was something else. No, I'm going to take Carolyn's call. Welcome to Spouting Off, Carolyn.
Well, I'm glad to be with you today, Karen.
Great.
And first of all, when you were a caller in Metro Denver, you had quite a following, and I think you were one of a kind. I don't know anyone else who had that about them. I wanted to acknowledge you for that. I'm so glad you're on the radio now. But
Thank you.
Brought up some you brought up some subject matter that were also on my mind. For instance, Maxine Waters, talk about spouting off. Where has she been? I mean, she seems, maybe she blew her top or something, and she needs a break. But
can I comment on that? Let me just stop you. Don't forget what you were going to say. You know, I think you're giving her too much credit. I'm sorry to say. I think that Maxine Waters never had an idea of what the Constitution is about. I don't think Maxine Waters is particularly bright. And because she personifies a certain kind of point of view, they wanted to get her in there. So she's not the result of a meritocracy, I should say. There's tons of other people that could be better. The only thing that she's really doing well is showing a lot of other people how insane the left can be. Okay, go ahead.
She certainly does demonstrate that. She does.
But, she's nuts. You know, yeah. Are you there?
Another thing is,
I
was going to bring up Halloween costumes today because I saw that same article and I thought, well, maybe that's kind of silly, but it is our culture, how it has evolved into where it is now. And, you know, I can think of a costume that is offensive. I've seen it various times. Not a word of it on this list. And that is a pregnant nun.
Of what?
I guess that would be okay.
What is?
A pregnant nun.
A present nun.
No, a pregnant.
Oh, a president.
No,
nun?
A pregnant nun.
Oh. Okay, I'm not understanding what you're saying. I'm so sorry. I wish you could type it to me or something. What is she saying? Say it one more. Hold on. A pregnant nun. God. Okay,
yes.
I get it. That was not a pun.
That's not on the list.
Bad. A pregnant nun is not offensive, but it's offensive to you, right, Carolyn?
Well, I'm just throwing it out there that's how things are today.
Well, you know what, Carolyn? The funny thing is, I'm going to take a big leap here and say that you get offended by a pregnant nun costume, but you're not going to go out and either ask the government to make a law or put out a big article by Business Insider about why it's in bad taste and nobody should do it. You're entitled to your opinion, as are we. But this idea that there is only one way to move forward in the world and it's got to be politically correct, I think that's the thing that people have a problem with. And I think that is what Donald Trump is tapping into, wouldn't you say? That's what I think.
Yeah, I would.
That's part
Absolutely.
Of it. Anyway, thank you, Carolyn, for your call. I really appreciate you calling. I hope you'll keep listening and hope you'll keep listening to Spouting Off. Okay. She called the number. I'm going to give the number right now. She called in order to talk to me on Spouting Off. She called 888-627-6008 or direct 323-744-4831. So thank you, Carolyn, for calling. That was a great call.
Good talking with you, Karen.
Oh, good talking to you, too. Thank you. Shazam. Anyway, that's cool. We are going to move on to the next thing I was going to talk about, which is Trump winning. Trump's winning. I mean, if you're a person who actually voted for Trump, who and the left has tried to shame people for having voted for him. Hillary thinks we're all deplorable. And the left has tried to say that even if you thought about voting for Donald Trump, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a misogynist, you're a homophobe. You are a bad person, even if you thought about it. Now, being the rebel that I am, if someone told me that, I'd probably, well, I wouldn't vote for them on purpose. I am a real rebel, though. And it's insane to have an entire political ideology tell you that you aren't allowed to vote for someone they disagree with or you're a racist. Far as I'm concerned, they should keep talking. Anyway, Trump is winning. He's winning, just like Charlie Sheen, who wasn't winning when he said it. Trump is winning. He's dismantling Obamacare. Why? Because the Republican-led Congress refused to, even after they promised us and promised us and promised us some more that they would repeal Obamacare. I don't like to say replace, because I never wanted them to replace it. I just wanted them to get rid of it. It was terrible. It was forced upon us. It was done at the point of a gun, even on the left side of the aisle. Not one Republican supported it, which is all about the only principled thing they ever did. But now that they got control of Congress, both houses of Congress, they decided that they would not repeal Obamacare, even though they promised us. And now we could actually do it, but they didn't get it done. It can't be underestimated how angry the grassroots is at Congress over this. It's enormous. The grassroots are furious. That's why Moore in Alabama was elected, even though Donald Trump supported his opponent, because the grassroots said, "We love you, Donald, but you're wrong on this one. This one, you don't want any more establishment Republicans in there." But I'm not going to get into the weeds on that one. Trump wins on the travel ban. I noticed, I read in the paper today that there was one judge who put another ban on it. The left loves to ban things. Have you seen? They ban Halloween costumes. They ban travel bans. And the whole point of a travel ban is to keep you and me safe from immigrants from terrorist-supported countries coming to this country to kill us. Now, I know that doesn't seem like a very important thing to do, but there is nothing racist about the travel ban. Obama was able to do it. A lot of people have been able to do it. But because it's Donald Trump, suddenly we're not allowed to do it because it's Donald Trump. And we need to continue to smear him as a racist. Now, this is not only wrong and practically evil, but it's short-sighted as well. It's very short-sighted because basically they're saying their politics means more to them, the left who are doing this, than keeping America safe. You can keep America safe and not be a racist. In fact, if you want to keep America safe, that doesn't make you a racist. Okay, so also on immigration, so he did win on the travel ban because the Supremes, just to give you the information, the Supreme Court threw out the travel ban, and now today there is yet another ban on that. Now, if you disagree with me, I would love to take your call. I would love to talk to you about that. And you know the number, I'll give it to you, 888-627-6008. But the sanctuary cities is another aspect of immigration that Trump is winning on. The stock market is through the roof. Economic optimism is over the top. The stock market just hit 23,000. If you remember, it was about 8,000 at 9/11 when it dropped like a rock. It is now 23,000. Trump has gone to work on the promise he made to get rid of the despicable Iran deal, which was sold to the public as somehow some sort of peace offering or some sort of thing that was going to help peace and stop nuclear proliferation. Nothing could be further from the truth. From everything I've seen, the Iran deal actually escalated nuclear proliferation against us and against the state of Israel. So it was a horrid deal, and Trump has gone to work on that. So another thing is Trump's move on foreign policy. It wasn't just to decertify the Iran deal. It was also, he did something that didn't get a lot of press, and that was labeling the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps as terrorists under an obscure Treasury Department designation. Now, that's the first time Washington has labeled the military branch of another country as terrorists. But guess what? This may not come as a shock to you. They are terrorists. And Trump has had the guts and the courage to say so. All right, so my question to you is, if Trump is winning so much, keeping this many promises that the people want, and that's why they voted him in. They voted him in because of the promises he made, because he had this agenda. This agenda wasn't a surprise to anybody. The question is, how come the establishment and the hard left, actually, all the left is hard these days. That's not quite how I meant it. How come the establishment hates him so darn much? Did you happen to see John McCain? John McCain, the war hero. He was at a Liberty Medal event. He was honored with the Liberty Medal by the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia. I believe this was yesterday. And we never cheer anybody's demise around here. He has a terminal form of brain cancer. He's not going to be with us much longer. But it has somehow caused him to show more of his true colors than ever before. This is what he said. He said that abandoning the ideals we have advanced around the globe, he's very cautionary to us in that we should not refuse the obligations of international leadership for the sake of, are you ready, some half-baked, spurious nationalism cooked up by people who would rather find scapegoats than solve problems. Then he goes on to call it unpatriotic. So what is he really saying there? He's saying that if you believe in this idea of America first, if you believe that America deserves to have borders, that America has a right to set laws about those borders, and that it has absolutely nothing to do with what race, religion, ethnicity, and by the way, Muslim is not a race, Mexican is not a race. It has nothing to do with that. But every country in the world, in the free world, has immigration laws that it is allowed to enforce. And yet somehow America is evil if they enforce the laws on the books. This is but one of the many things that Trump made promises about. And that's why he's sitting in the Oval Office right now, because he made those promises and he's actually keeping them. But John McCain revealed himself to be the elitist establishment Republican that we all sort of knew that he was. Well, I'm spouting off here real good, and I only have about 5 more minutes, I think, to talk about healthcare. So I'm going to get right to it. I found this article entitled Trump, the Chieftain of Spite. It's an editorial now. There's an awful lot of articles that are editorials that are masquerading as news stories. But this one, and I credit Mike Rosen with that term because he's the one that came up with it. And I used to listen to Mike Rosen, another talk show host, for a long, long time. And he's good. It must be cold and miserable, is what the article says, written by Charles Blow. I'm not going to make a joke. I promise you, I'm biting my tongue. I'm not going to make a joke about that. Charles Blow said, it must be cold and miserable standing in the shadow of someone greater and smarter and more loved and more admired than you are. By that, he's talking about Barack Obama, that poor Donald Trump is standing in his shadow. Trump can't hold a candle to Obama, so he's taking a tiki torch to Obama's legacy. Now, my comment, not possible to disagree. We're not allowed to disagree. So it must be that we should ascribe evil intent, that Donald Trump just doesn't like Obama, and that's why he wants to take a tiki torch. By the way, that's another slam that somehow Donald Trump is a white supremacist. Nothing could be further from the truth. There's never been any evidence of that. If you want to call me and disagree, I'm ready for you. Okay. So let's see. Obama was civil. Trump was churlish. That means like a bully. Obama was tactful. Really? Trump is tacky. Really? Was Obama tactful? Oh, and he also had elegant intellectualism and taste, according to Charles Blow. But was Obama elegant and had intellectualism and taste when he referred to the United States as having 57 states? Of course, the media covered him on that one. Or that the police acted stupidly because they wanted to enforce a law? Or when he was talking about, since he doesn't like the military much, he calls them, instead of calling them corpsmen, he calls them corpsmen, or the military corpse, kind of like a dead body, which is what he wanted to do to our military. Did I say that out loud? Always fueled Trump's rage against Obama. I'm just looking at all my notes here. He chafes at the black man who operated above the coarseness of commercial interests and whose character appeared unsalable. Really? You know, it's funny. You're entitled to your own opinion, but not to your own facts. There were tons of scandals in the Obama White House, but the media refused to report them. There was Fast and Furious. Look it up. There was IRS scandal in which Obama obstructed justice by using the IRS to bully and hound his enemies. There was the Iran deal, which we mentioned. There was spying on political enemies, as I mentioned. No, they were bullied lest they be called racist. There's two worlds and they're living in one and we're living in the other. No, it's a very interesting thing. And the reason that he goes into all this, and there's just tons of this, of slams about Trump, and there's tons, is because he does not like that Trump is trying to undo Obamacare. Now, Obamacare, as I mentioned, was passed. It really wasn't about health care, and it's really not even about insurance. It's about socializing one-sixth of our economy and putting forth socialism. That's one of the reasons why Lady Thatcher couldn't return Britain as easily to a free market system, because Britain has socialized medicine. So here you – oh, you know what? Gosh, I had actualities about this, and I didn't even use them because I've been so wired. Let's hear cut one right now of Jonathan Gruber, if we've got the time, right? Jonathan Gruber letting us know that what he thinks of all of us for buying into the fact that Obamacare was a solution. Ready, go. Hello? Okay, maybe we don't have it queued up, because
lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass. And, you know, it's the second best argument. Look, I wish Mark was right. We can make it all transparent. But I'd rather have this law than not. So it's kind of like his reporter story. You know, yeah, there's things I wish I could change, but I'd rather have this law than not.
How do you like that? He'd rather have the law by being not transparent and lying to the American people because they're stupid anyway, and force it upon us based on false information because he thinks the law is so important to all of us. What arrogance. What arrogance to think he knows better than all of us. Doesn't that fly in the face of everything I just talked about freedom and about the abuse of power? I could go on and on, but it looks like I have, what, about a minute left before our time together is ending. After all of this, you're going to have to go back to all that meditating, because yeah, there's a lot out there, and a lot of it makes us want to spout off. If you'd like to join me, if you'd like to call or send a comment, you can go to my website at www.karencataline.com. I'm on Facebook at Karen Cataline, or Twitter at Karen Cataline. Just remember my name and you'll be able to find me online. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, to Wiley Fox, and to HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Next week, we're going to have more of Spouting Off. Don't forget that we are coming to you live on Tuesdays, on Tuesday afternoon. We would love it if you would tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell them to call us so that we can have more people listening live. And then these podcasts and broadcasts will be on my website within about 24 hours. About 24 hours, you will be able to hear the podcast and you can go ahead there and send it to people that you'd like. Okay? So thank you so much for joining us here on Spouting Off on BBS Station 1.